The body that oversees Michigan's most challenged schools will be disbanding. The state's Education Achievement Authority, the EAA, has been the focus of growing criticism since its launch about 4 years ago. The news adds to growing uncertainty about the future of public education in Detroit. Currently, the state legislature is debating a proposal that would overhaul the entire district. Hundreds of teachers have recently staged sick outs over poor building conditions, and the state-appointed emergency manager just resigned under pressure. Today, we welcome two guests with particular perspectives on public education in Detroit to help current state listeners get a better grasp on all of these currents. Tanya Allen is a Detroit native, a longtime educational activist, and CEO of the Skillman Foundation. She also heads the Coalition for the Education of Detroit School Children, which last year submitted a comprehensive plan for the future of the city's schools. Tanya Allen, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be on.
And Dr. David Arson is a Michigan State University education professor and has studied the EAA and the DPS as well. Dr. Arson, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with what happened Friday afternoon in Ypsilanti. The Eastern Michigan University Board of Regents effectively ended the state's Education Achievement Authority. It had its share of critics. Tanya Allen, let me ask you this. Was it time to end the EAA?
Yes, I think it was. So one of the things that came out of the coalition's report, which I'm fully in agreement with, is that the EAA was a workaround. So we have state policy through the school reform office at the state level to be able to deal with low-performing schools. And instead of using that policy to execute it effectively in Detroit and other places, we basically decided and developed a district, a separate district, to do the same duties. And I think that that created a ton of confusion. We worked really, lots of people worked hard to try and bring some alignment to that. But it hasn't been effective, and it's, negatively impacted the district pretty significantly.
David Arson, you wrote a paper involving the EAA. What do you think of its approaching end?
It's time. In that paper you mentioned, it was co-authored with my colleague Mary Mason, and folks can find it on the education policy website at MSU. We characterized it as a policy train wreck. The EAA was hastily and poorly designed in policy, design policy arranged in private meetings. So there's no opportunity for public venting and refinement that typically takes place in the legislative process. And there were conflicting visions regarding its purposes from the start that undercut the dedicated efforts of lots of educators working hard in those schools.
Mm. Tanya Allen, what are your thoughts about how those challenged EAA schools and EAA students should be helped now?
Well, I think a couple things. I think the first thing that we're going to have to do is figure out how we integrate those schools back into the district. I think the district is going to have to rebrand itself, rebrand the work that it's going to have to do and how it's going to be dealing with its low-performing schools. And we need to rebrand it to parents and to the broader community alike. I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges right now with the district is that many of us cannot suspend our disbelief that the district can get better. And I do believe it can get better. And I think there are some real actions that we can take, steps that we can take to do that. The last thing I would just say is that one of the things that we are finding, and I'm curious to hear what Professor Carson has to say about this, but one of the things that we're finding is that most of the schools that are low performing have so many different partners in those buildings trying to help them improve that the educators are not able to spend time in the classroom, nor do they have the time to actually execute the strategies. There's no coherence. We have confused quantity with quality, and I think one of the most important things that the district can do to affect those EAA schools and other low-performing schools within itself is to fix that practice.
We're talking about the future of Detroit schools here on Current State with Tanya Allen, head of the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children, also Dr. David Arson, who has studied the EAA in the Michigan State University College of Education. David, you mentioned to me that we are on the cusp of what could be a profound change for the larger DPS, for the Detroit public schools. And you're referring to the bills that are currently making their way through the legislature being debated at length. talk to us about your perspective on these bills and what they would do.
Well, before doing so, and I'm happy to go there, I just want to respond to Tanya's point and
sure.
say that I think she's absolutely correct. The EAA tried a start-over strategy for schools, pulling them out of their district, inserting different administrators, teachers, and in many cases, students, rather than a turnaround strategy. And I think the state's school reform office now seems to be moving more towards a turnaround in place strategy, seeking to help the schools with the people who teach in them and learn in those schools and in partnership with those who govern the schools. And it's an approach that, if it's done well, can cultivate trust through sustained interactions, better integrate research-based technical expertise and teaching, better coordinate. Absolutely, Tanya, I agree with you on that. Research-based, it can come from the universities, from the ISDs, from the charter authorizers. This is critical, and we can do a better job. They also need resources. We try to do the school reform turnaround on the cheap with no additional new resources for the EAA. Only the student enrollment that came with it and private donations. So we have to recognize that this is a no easy fixes, and this is a long-term process.
Well, you've both highlighted the importance of the school reform office here in improving the landscape in Detroit. What is the fate of the school reform office under the legislation that's currently being debated downtown? Tanya, do you have a handle on that?
Yeah, well, I don't think that there is anything. The school reform office is actually not being, there are no new implications for it. I think the biggest challenge for the school reform office in our state has been simply it's not been used or executed, which is more of a sign of a lack of leadership and a lack of execution at the state level on education policy in general. And so I think, obviously Detroit is asking to have its hand in its own destiny as we try to improve the schools in our city across the board, be it EAA, DPS, or charter schools. But I think that one of the things that this really points out is how poorly, as a state, we have a handle on what's going on in Detroit or in other cities. And what we're seeing in Detroit, quite honestly, is not an anomaly to Detroit. Many cities across the country are facing these same challenges. Ours is just exacerbated because of the poor public policy that happens at the state level.
David Arson, anything to add to that?
I agree.
You agree completely. Yeah. Almost a year ago, Tanya, your group, the Coalition for the Future of Detroit School Children, issued a report labeled "The Choice is Ours." And before we walk through some of the recommendations, let me ask you at the outset, what role do your recommendations have here in February of 2016 with everything in such flux? Are they still relevant today?
Well, I think they're still relevant, and I think a lot of our recommendations are actually in play with the current debates that are in the legislative bodies right now. So resolving DPS is that trying to get a handle on what the education marketplace is. Right now, we have no control over the supply and demand of schools in our area. No local engagement, community thought is added to that. What we found through that report was over 200 schools have been closed over the last 10 years and over 100 open, and neither of them have had any community input because Detroit has 14 different entities that open and close schools, and none of them are managed locally.
I'm under the impression that families are constantly searching and researching for new schools to send their kids. Is that the kind of landscape you're hearing about?
Yeah, well, what I've described this landscape as, it's kind of like Hunger Games for parents. So parents really have to figure out where they're going to send their children. There's not any good information. There's no unified enrollment process or policy. You just have to be a really superb and excellent parent to figure out and navigate how you're going to get, where you're going to send your child, what's a high-quality school, and then how are you going to get them there? If you don't have transportation, then you essentially have no way, you have actually eliminated your ability to have choice. And so that's been part of our recommendation, is that we need to have these centralized systems in our city. In many cities who look like Detroit in terms of the amount of choice that's available via the mix between charter and traditional public schools have these kind of market enablers. And we don't have them in Detroit. And quite honestly, we've seen the legislature really push back on wanting to create that kind of environment that gives parents choices. And the last thing I would say—
That's not what you would expect from this legislature. That's an interesting observation.
Right. Well, I think that they believe that right now that any choice, that you should have choice and everybody should make a choice. But one of the things that a colleague has said, and I have believed this and agree with it, is that, you know, we add more schools to the Detroit landscape and then we say, look, parents are choosing. Well, in actuality, they aren't. We've basically eroded a district and we've added more schools. You basically, what parents are doing in Detroit, they're almost like education refugees. Like they're in a war state, you know, they're in a war state and they're looking for the safest place they can land their children. And that shouldn't be the option for parents. They should be choosing what's the best educational quality, what's the best school I can send my child to. And right now, they don't have that option as a whole in this city.
Let's tick through a few key recommendations in your Choices Hours plan here, and I'll have Dr. Arson and yourself both respond to these briefly. The end of emergency management and back to an elected school board. The emergency manager approach has failed, in your view, David Arson?
Yeah, it's failed on both the financial and academic counts. I would say in general, and it's not just Detroit, it's in the other school districts where it's been applied. I think the EM might work a little better in municipalities, but the main problem in schools, both on the financial front, they can cut salaries, they can set the class size, they can sell assets, but they can't control by cutting, they can't stabilize enrollment. And especially in a setting with so much choice, and if they can't stabilize enrollment, then the revenues will continue to fall. And that is exactly what has happened, closing over 100 schools. And those kids don't all stay in the district. And many of them go to charters. And so as a result of that, the revenues have fallen faster than the cost, and they have to borrow more. And so now the district is spending just an unsustainable amount of money of their expenditures on debt.
Tanya Allen, wouldn't some number of Detroiters say that the elected school board failed as well? I mean, what makes changing back to an elected school board with all of its diverse points of views and opinions, sometimes contentious, what has changed that recommends going back to that governance?
Yeah, no, I think that many would debate whether or not a school board has been successful in Detroit. But the challenge is that we can't do it you can't have an honest debate about it because we've had such significant role of the state's hand in the process over the last 15 years. And so what I would say is this, is that Detroiters are raising their hands. Detroiters are saying, you've tried this. We are not satisfied with what you have accomplished as a state. Actually, when we had an elected board, we had a better balance on the budget. We actually had a stronger number of students attending our school, and we had stronger academic achievement. So they may not have been perfect, but their results have aligned far better with our values as a city than state management. And so I think that we have to give Detroiters an opportunity to fix the mess that has been created and own the responsibility to educate its children. If a community doesn't own that responsibility, is it really a community? Can it decide its own destiny without figuring out how it's going to provide high-quality education to its children? So I don't understand why anybody would want to take that responsibility from a community.
The legislature is considering picking up the $500 to $700 million in debt that the district currently has to pay. David Arson, is there any realistic alternative to the state picking up the tab?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can be certain we wouldn't be having this discussion, this very serious bipartisan discussion of directing hundreds of millions of dollars to the Detroit debt, if highly qualified and credible financial experts, both within the state government and externally, weren't convinced that this is the best strategy, actually the least cost strategy for the state.
And Tanya Allen, one last word. Let's touch in the little time that we have left. What role do charter schools have, do you feel, in righting the ship in the Detroit School District?
Well, I think that part of what we have to take a look at is having a stronger set of academic standards for all schools to perform at. And I think that all schools have to be held accountable to that, both traditional public schools as well as charters. It's unfortunate in Detroit that, you know, Detroit is the lowest performing school district in the country. Our charters basically are at par with those low-performing schools, and we're protecting governance models. What we ought to be doing is protecting children and making sure that they have the greatest and highest quality option. And I would say that the charters who are pushing on this point of choice and open market, which, you know, I'm a supporter of choice and I'm supportive of a marketplace that is that enables high quality, but I'm not in support of a marketplace that enables people to be free of accountability and to operate low-performing schools and to deprive a school district of the resources that they could have to do a better job. If we're going to have this as a choice, it has to be a better choice, not a choice that is on par with what we have currently.
We will continue to keep an eye on Senator Hansen's legislation that is in the legislature. It would change a great deal. We want to thank our guests, Tanya Allen, head of the Coalition for the Education of Detroit School Children. Dr. David Arson is a Michigan State University education professor. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.